Hi, this is Ross Conrad, contributor to Bee Culture Magazine, sharing with you an article that I submitted for the October 2022 edition of Bee Culture. It came about because I had a couple topics that I thought were newsworthy. I wanted to write about them, but neither really seemed to contain enough information that would flesh out into a full-size article, so I decided to combine them into an article I've called News Notes. So here it is, News Notes from October 2022. Vermont is the first state to allow oxalic acid extended-release mite treatment. A novel approach to control varroa mites is gaining attention around the U.S. that utilizes oxalic acid extended-release. The first article on oxalic acid extended release appeared in the journal Apidology, and authored by Maggie et al., 2015, and it described a combination of oxalic acid and glycerin that showed effectiveness against varroa for over 40 days after introduction to the hive. Randy Oliver of scientificbeekeeping.com has conducted additional trials on the oxalic acid extended release, but unfortunately this novel approach to varroa control has not yet been approved by the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, generally it's a violation of federal law to use a pesticide or cause a pesticide to be used in ways that are inconsistent with its label. Exceptions to this regulation are found in the federal statute that governs the registration, distribution, sale, and use of pesticides. It's known as the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, or FIFRA. Exemptions are found in FIFRA 2EE 1 through 4, which describe the four special circumstances in which it is permissible for a pesticide to be used in a manner which is not specifically labeled. Now, in May of 2022, the state of Vermont became the first state in the U.S. to authorize a 2EE exemption for the use of a method of controlling varroa mites through the application of oxalic acid that is not allowed by the label, but is not specifically prohibited by the label. The statewide label exemption to allow the use of oxalic acid sold under the brand name Apibioxal using an extended-release formulation for mite control is expected to assist Vermont beekeepers who have been struggling with the latest dramatic increase in annual colony losses that began right around 2007. So far, beekeepers who have experimented with the OAE, oxalic acid extended release, are reporting very good control of varroa and find the extended release oxalic acid formulation greatly decreases winter colony losses. It's gentler on the bees than many other treatments. It's safer for beekeepers than many other treatments, and it eliminates concerns over contamination of honey or wax from the treatment's active ingredient. Unfortunately, it may not be possible for all states in the Union to implement a 2EE exemption for the oxalic acid extended release. So ideally, the registrant of Apibioxal will amend their label language with the EPA to include this slow-release method of applying oxalic acid so it would become available to beekeepers in all states. Item 2, EPA ignores own standards when evaluating cancer risks. On July 20th, 2022, the EPA Office of Inspector General issued a report that found the EPA failed to follow standard operating procedures and requirements in its pesticide cancer risk assessment process. The report comes on the heels of a U.S. Court of Appeals decision that overturned the EPA ruling that glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is safe for humans and wildlife. Not only did the court rule that the EPA's inconsistent reasoning, that's quote unquote, made its decision on cancer quote arbitrary unquote, the court found the EPA violated the Endangered Species Act since the agency had previously admitted that, to quote them, glyphosate may affect all listed species experiencing glyphosate exposure. That's 1,795 endangered or threatened species, unquote. But EPA ignored the Endangered Species Act in its decision. Monsanto Bayer's glyphosate-based pesticide, known as Roundup, is the most widely used pesticide in the world, and numerous studies have found potential links to adverse honeybee impacts. The failure of the EPA to adequately evaluate pesticides' safety should cause those who still have confidence in the EPA to protect honeybees and other pollinators from non-target pesticide exposures and their impacts to rethink their misplaced confidence. And item number three, environmentally, honey is better than sugar. Honey is largely considered the first sweetener used by mankind. It is the only sweetener we use that does not require processing for it to be usable. And today, there are numerous sweeteners that compete with honey for the consumer's attention and dollars. Sucrose, which is composed of 50% glucose and 50% fructose, is the most common sugar. It is often called table sugar and is extracted mostly from sugarcane and sugar beets. Sugar is also found everywhere. It not only is found in foods as main ingredients as cakes, pies, my favorite, ice cream, cookies, and candy bars, but it's also added to foods that do not naturally contain sugar, such as luncheon meats, baby foods, soups, canned vegetables, cereals, and most convenience foods, like frozen TV dinners. Sugar is pervasive, and its sweet taste is universally enjoyed. Unfortunately, sugar production is also quite harmful to the environment. A July article titled "Sugar Taxation for Climate and Sustainability Goals" by King and Vandenberg in 2022 suggests that reducing sugar consumption could help fight climate change, it could help reduce environmental damage from sugar mill pollutants, and help prevent the loss of biodiversity. The sugar mills that process sugarcane consume large amounts of energy, and the majority of the time, that energy is produced by fossil fuels. Honey, on the other hand, is produced by bees, whose energy requirements are fueled by the nectar of flower blossoms. Any fossil fuels used to produce and process honey is limited to the occasional trips the beekeeper makes to check on the hives during the season, the energy used to extract honey, and the embodied energy that goes into making the hive equipment and tools used by the beekeeper. As a result, not only is local honey the least environmentally harmful sweetener, but it has one of the smallest carbon footprints of all foods. In addition, the wastewater runoff from sugarcane fields, sludge washed from mills and plant matter waste produced as a matter of sugar production, all choke bodies of fresh water, absorbing available oxygen and leading to massive fish die-offs. In contrast, the only waste produced during honey production is beeswax, which can be rendered, cleaned, and is a valuable resource used to produce additional products. Meanwhile, plant and animal habitat is destroyed when fields are created to facilitate sugarcane cultivation, and this significantly increases biodiversity loss. As honeybees go about collecting nectar to produce honey, the impact that pollination produces helps to maintain biodiversity. The authors of the Nature Sustainability Study hint that taxing sugar would be a good way to reduce its consumption, but they do not suggest how people might replace this ubiquitous sweetener. We beekeepers have the answer. Everyone who uses sweeteners should substitute honey for sugar whenever possible. I'm Ross Conrad, and thank you for listening.